You're with us for a caller-only edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. State parks, they're open. Campsites, though, still closed. Visitors are encouraged to wear masks in situations where social distancing is difficult. So we want to hear from you this hour. What guests or segments on our Fridays Together have inspired you to see our state in new ways? What recreation topics haven't we given enough attention to? Do you have a particular hobby that we need to explore? What are your weekend plans? What's your family doing? Where are you taking the kids? How is your family exploring Wisconsin and staying safe? Let's share with each other, hear from you on how you're spending downtime. Let's get fresh ideas. Chime in now, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 on this caller-only edition. My pencil is sharpened and ready. And speaking of sharpened pencils, are you planning to paint or draw this weekend? A few weeks ago, during a segment about drawing, we heard from Conrad in Milwaukee. And here is Conrad and two of our guests, newspaper cartoonist Phil Hands and Christiana Grauert from the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design.
I'm an artist. I work on a social justice comic. And I find that often I have all the pictures laid out. I may have 6 or 8 panels done, and I have a concept where the story's going, but I struggle with finishing that script to speak the message exactly as I'm imagining it. So I guess my question was, do you collaborate with other writers? Or I think you touched on that a little bit, but could you spin that out a little more?
Well, I will say, admittedly, whenever I'm doing a comic strip, I always write backwards. That's just how I write for when I do the Mendota Marsh comic strip in the Sunday Wisconsin State Journal each week. The joke at the end, the last panel is always what comes to me first. So I have the idea of how I want to finish it first, and then I just write to that. And that's how I write comics. So I would suggest making sure you know, because the last panel is the most important thing, you know. And if you don't have that set in stone ahead of time, you're going to kind of be flopping around for it. So get that last one done first and then write to it.
I think definitely while you're in the process of laying it out, work on both of them simultaneously. Don't necessarily finish and get the artwork perfect already, but sketch out what could be, again, stick figures, circles and squares, and put the words, might not be complete sentences yet, but sort of the key moments you want to talk about together. And then see, because both things work together. They have to function together, and one shouldn't be an add-on to the other. So keeping them in the process, pushing them both through at the same time, I think will also help.
Ah, such great advice about drawing and cartooning. I know my kids have been doing a lot of painting recently. Also, out in the garden, are you planting a garden, hunting wild mushrooms? Maybe you're searching for flowers this weekend. We recently did a program on gardening tips with Lisa Johnson, a Dane County horticulture educator. And Stephen from Milwaukee had a question about tomatoes.
This year is the first year I planted tomatoes and peppers. My tomatoes, I never tried them, and I had really good success in seeds coming up. Now I have too many little plants per little 2-inch pot. What's the best way to divide them and make sure that I get more plants that are viable instead of having them all bunched up?
Yeah. So usually when you say you're planting in, or you have 2.5-inch pots?
Yeah, there's the little, those cardboard pots that are biodegradable.
Okay,
gotcha.
Yeah, usually for something like that, I would start no more than 2 seedlings. Tomatoes are, as you've noticed, really, really reliable. They come up really well. So when you're trying to divide them, if you've got too many in the pot, I would carefully turn the pot on its side and just, you know, very, very gently try and tease those roots apart. You can use something like a pencil or a plastic knife. And I know in the greenhouse, I have a part-time job during the spring. We do actually separate tomato seedlings all the time, and so they are more resilient than you might think, but be very careful about how you handle them. You want to handle them gently by the base of the stem when you're pulling them apart.
This hour is dedicated to you and what you want to bring to the morning show. It's caller only, ideas rich. We're especially interested in weekend fun, and we've pulled clips, as you just heard, about tomatoes from past callers, sharing experiences, ideas, questions. Now it's your turn. Share what your family is doing this weekend. Are you staying at home, traveling some? Are you trying a new restaurant, catching a drive-in movie? Maybe there's a new book that you're getting into. Share your weekend plans now, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Jeremy now in Whitewater. Hi, Jeremy.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I was just calling to basically give an update. I called in last week, I believe, when we were talking about gardening.
Yeah.
With Lisa.
Uh-huh.
And I had a Venus flytrap. Well, part of it did die, but I ended up listening to her advice, and the plant that did survive ended up actually growing another one. So I just wanted to appreciate the information that you guys gave me.
Oh, that's so awesome. I'm so glad that that worked out for you. Are you trying any other plants or planting, doing any other type of gardening now?
I do not. This is actually my very first one, and I thought I'd fail miserably. So I actually just wanted to see if I could keep it alive. And it is alive, and it's been staying alive. So I'm just pretty proud of that.
Have you, what have you been feeding it?
Right now, I'm giving it distilled water. And I went and just recently got basically like fertilized soil to just keep it consistently hydrated, because it does need that all the time.
Yeah.
And like I said, part of it when I did start, half of it did die. So like I lost that part, and it kind of, you know, made me discouraged, like, oh dang, I can't do this. But then, you know, last week I looked, and, or this week, and he's growing a friend. So I'm pretty proud of that.
That is so great. I'm so glad you were able to turn that plan around and just, you know, keep on trucking with it. Jeremy, thanks for coming in with a follow-up. We appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, guys. You as well. Bye.
Now let's look at boating. Are you hoping to get out on the water this weekend? Are the boat landings open where you live? We recently heard from Scott about landings being closed in the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest. Here's Scott and Missy Van Landit from the state DNR.
My question is, I know like the state boat landings on the lakes up north up here are open, but I heard that the National Forest closed all their landings, so you can't launch your boat on any of the public lakes of the state on National Forest.
That is true. So the Shawamigan National Forest did close down most of their recreation opportunities to slow the spread of COVID-19. So they did close multiple boat landings, trails, access points, camping, lookouts, you name it. So right now what is open there is you can still drive through the forest and you can hike and bike on the forest roads, but they did close down everything else in the Shawamigan National Forest.
Missy Van Landit, our trusted DNR guest. Love it when she's on. So we're talking about weekend plans, getting your ideas on what we should talk about on the morning show, especially as it relates to hobbies, relaxation, gardening. What can you do safely with social distancing? Have you visited a state park? Where did you go? Did you wear a mask? How did it feel to visit a park? How are you keeping your kids busy this summer? Goodness, let me know. How can we build out our conversations with you? Join in any point, 800-642-1234. Back with more Wisconsin Weekend. Hopefully hear from you on this caller-only edition right here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for a Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So many events canceled straight across our state due to COVID. And the announcement that came yesterday was from Wisconsin State Fair, the largest single event in the state. Typically attracts more than 1 million people over 11 days in August. It's the first cancellation of the state fair since 1945. So outside of summer gatherings, there are ways we can relax and unwind while keeping a distance. And we want to know from you what we should talk about on our Friday mornings together. This is a caller-only hour, ideas rich, right? What are your favorite outdoor activities this time of year? Which ones are you doing? Are you biking more, hiking? Have you played a round of golf? Do you feel safe about the hobby you love? How are you modifying? Be part of this caller-only Wisconsin brainstorm at the kitchen table, 800-642-1234. So speaking of hiking, are you headed to the forests of the North Woods? Maybe you're in the Driftless this weekend. And in April, Joel from Superior called in during a conversation about staying safe from ticks and mosquitoes, other bloodsuckers. And UW-Madison's Lyric Bartholomew fielded his question.
Say I have a couple things. As a kid here growing up in, you know, way up northern Wisconsin, we didn't even know of deer ticks, and now they're everywhere. I've been treated for Lyme disease 3 times. I spent a lot of time outside, especially in the fall with bird dogs in grassy areas. The dogs seriously get hundreds of deer ticks on them. You know, what changed? Is it because it's warmer? And then you don't have to go very far north of here. You get up into the Thunder Bay area of Canada, which isn't, you know, only a couple hours from here. They don't have ticks at all. Is it the colder winters that are preventing them from showing up here? And are they living in the, in the wintertime, are they just under the leaf litter and the grass and stuff?
Yeah, thanks, Joel. So really we have seen over time the same thing play out, and a lot of people will tell the same story that you tell where, you know, when they were kids, they never saw these ticks, and now they're seeing them in huge numbers. And it's associated with the things that the ticks like to be on, and that the ticks have just probably to some extent they've really adapted really well to Wisconsin winters. You know, these ticks are remarkably cold hardy, and just like you said, they can burrow into that leaf litter and persist even in just shockingly cold weather. So it's not so much that they're not making it farther north in Canada because they're not cold hardy enough. I think it has to be this kind of perfect storm of all different conditions. So you have to have the small mammals that these things like to feed on. So mice are so important in the life cycle of these ticks because as soon as they hatch, they need to find a mouse to feed on. And the mice are actually the source of the Lyme disease bacteria too. So you have to have the mouse, then you have to have the mouse again, or maybe a chipmunk or some other small mammals, and then a deer. And so as those populations thrive, as the mice and the deer thrive, so do the deer ticks.
Those ticks taking showers after we're in the woods. We are revisiting some of our show's past moments where listeners like you called in, and now we want to know, what are you up to on your weekends? This is a caller-only hour. We're gathering up all your ideas for weekend fun while staying safe. Where are you going? What are you planning to do? And if you've been laid off or furloughed, how do you give yourself a break or an outlet without spending any cash? Be part of this Ideas Caller Only Hour. We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. So whatever your weekend plans, are you planning to travel with a pet? A while back, Joe from Neenah called in with a question about his car sick cat for Dr. Elizabeth Hillebrand, a veterinarian from Northwest Wisconsin.
Yeah, good morning. I have a cat that gets really sick when she travels. I have a house that's about 50 minutes away. About 40 minutes in a trip, she'll start to gag and vomit and everything. I was wondering, has anybody found a way to help that condition? I've tried cages. I've tried all kinds of stuff, but she still doesn't make it. But I've got to bring her on the weekends when I go there.
Yeah, and cats definitely don't take to traveling the same way our dogs do. Most dogs are really happy to hop in the car with us and go wherever. Cats, boy, I don't know, they tend to be like me. I'm kind of a homebody. That being said, though, if you need to take them, I would strongly recommend that you have a conversation about this with your regular veterinarian. Most veterinarians have a few tricks up their sleeves that they can think of. Sounds like you've done some of the let's try and make them feel a little more confident by having them in a nice crate, try different places in the car for the crate, making sure that we're doing routine regular trips, that they realize that they're not not going to end up being left somewhere. Who knows what goes through their brain, but we don't want them to feel like they might be going someplace they don't want to go. Other than that, everything else should really be on a case-by-case basis, and I'd strongly encourage you to talk to your veterinarian about it and see what other kind of thoughts they have on how to control some of that car sickness.
Well, not knowing what's on your cat's mind, we recently were talking birds and bird intelligence here on the morning show. Debbie from New Berlin enjoys watching birds. Debbie called into the program during a conversation with science writer Jennifer Ackerman.
2 weeks ago, I started putting out grape jelly for the orioles passing through. And I would say maybe 7 days ago, they started just a feeding frenzy at my oriole feeder, and I've seen so many orioles in the past week. They fight over it. They're just so beautiful. I also had a question about robins. I swear it looks like the same robin that nests on our patio every single year, probably for the past 5 years. I know this is probably a silly question, but I was wondering if robins do come back to nest in the same areas.
Birds often return to, if a nesting area has produced young for them, if they've had a successful nest there, they will nest there again. And some birds are extremely persistent about this. I spent time in the Delaware Bay area, and the osprey nesting there would often use power lines or telephone poles for their big nests of sticks. And the power company or the phone company would often take the nests down because they were interfering with the power lines or the phone lines. And the birds would just rebuild and rebuild and rebuild. It was amazing how loyal they were to a good nesting site.
Oh, that was such a neat conversation. Love it when we can talk about birds. What should we be talking about here on Wisconsin Weekend or on the morning show? This hour is dedicated to you and what you want to bring to the program. It's caller only, getting your ideas, especially we're interested in weekend fun, but also any ideas that you have for segments here on the morning show. Here's the number. Join in, 800-642-1234. So are you planning to fish this weekend? Earlier this month, John from Fond du Lac called into Wisconsin Weekend after the state's opening day. Here's John and Justine Haas, Fisheries Bureau Director for the State Department of Natural Resources.
Good morning, and I was curious about if there's been any new research or insights into the natural reproduction of walleye in northern Wisconsin lakes.
Sure. Yes, we ourselves as the department are doing several studies with walleye, especially about the reproduction and the survival of the small walleye. We've seen some declines in the populations of the walleye in northern Wisconsin. We have multiple studies going on looking at interactions between walleye and bass, walleye habitat for spawning, and also we've been supplementing several fisheries with stocking of walleye, and we're using different rates of stocking, and we're evaluating what is the best rate of stocking to provide a quality walleye fishery for anglers where we're seeing reproduction issues. So we have a whole host of things going on in the department, and then outside of the department, we work with a lot of collaborators like the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, the University of Wisconsin in Madison. We're all working together because, you know, the Midwest is seeing some similar patterns. And so there's a lot of other studies going on. You know, we're really trying to focus to maintain those quality walleye fisheries.
Oh, I want to know where you like to go fishing. I love it when we have our conversations about fishing. We learn about so many of our 15,000 lakes here in Wisconsin. I'm sure there's one that is near and dear to your heart. This is a caller-only edition of Wisconsin Weekend. You can call anytime with your thoughts on what we should be talking about on the morning show, especially as it relates to relaxation, as it relates to distraction from the pandemic. Here's the number to call to give your ideas, your show ideas. It's 800-642-1234. Do you love to garden? Do you want more how-to hours? And if so, What do you want to learn? What how-to would be helpful to you? Have you found yourself walking the trails more? Which trails do you suggest we visit? Have you gone boating or kayaking recently? What was it like? And parents, how in the heck are you keeping kids active and occupied this summer? Share your plans, share how you're keeping things straight, and share your ideas for segments with us. We take them down. We take them seriously. We're at 800-642-1234. We'll be back with more Wisconsin Weekend. It's caller only. It's you right after this news update here on the Ideas Network. On a Friday, we're in Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and here's what I want to know. If you've been laid off or if you've been furloughed, what can you tell us about your low-cost and no-cost ideas for a safe way to decompress on the weekend? Have you found an outdoor activity that you can do while still practicing social distancing and it's budget-friendly, no cash? Are your weekends blurring together with the weeks? How do you make the summer weekend special and stay safe? This is a gorgeous weekend. We're gathering your tips for summer recreation and what we should talk more about here on the Ideas Network. Here's a number for this caller only. It's 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can email us, ideas@wpr.org. Let's bring in Daryl now from Couderay. Hi, Daryl.
Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
The separation this COVID-19 has created has found me realizing as I cut my lawn and do yard work, just how separated we the people are. How before this happened, we all lived apart from each other like we were all in our own separate reality, disregarding the reality of the world just two steps outside our own front door. And the consequences of disregarding each other until something tragic like this happens, almost like lightning, if you were infected, but like in slow motion, if you're, you haven't contracted it yet. And as I found myself realizing this, that maybe, just maybe, we the people create the racism America lives with and is really a mistake in the way we the people refer to ourselves and others. I think maybe for me, this explains what is happening in Minneapolis as we speak now.
Yeah. And taking for granted that we need community to survive. We need people to gather. And when we can't be together, that alienates people. Daryl, how are you making it during the pandemic? What are you doing to stay connected to your life and the people you love?
Well, when I'm not doing yard work, I'm reading or I'm doing artwork, or I'm doing sculpture of some kind, or thinking about it and trying to think about how we can come together as a people, under one flag. It seems to me if you're born and raised an American, you're Native American, regardless of any other ethnicity. And I think we're missing that. And I hope this causes us to come together under one flag, because the flag is our only real weapon, if you think about it. It's our sword and it's our shield for all Americans.
Daryl, how do you express those feelings through your art, through your sculpture?
Through my paintings, I've been doing red, white, and blue paintings, but they're like abstract expressionism. You can tell it's the flag, but it's all distorted.
Yeah. How long have you been painting and doing sculpture?
Pardon me?
How long have you been painting and doing sculpture?
55 years, among other things, like being a blackjack dealer, and because I wanted to be around people, so I got a job as a blackjack dealer. But then I realized everybody's greedy, and it's like, well, you get used to it because you're getting tips.
So I'm curious, with your sculpture, what medium are you working in?
I like to work in stainless steel. I participated in a piece in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. It's titled The Ark of Dreams. If you go online and say Ark of Dreams sculpture, you'll see it. It sets on the Great Sioux River, right in Sioux Falls. And it's all stainless steel, and it represents all the hopes and dreams of everybody. And it was based on the double helix.
But then So you're
the triple helix.
You've got to have a lot of tools in your shop to be able to work in stainless steel.
And the most two important tools I used are introverted intuition. It's what every artist uses. It's called focus.
Daryl.
And then the hand tools, that's just what you get it done with.
Well, Daryl, thank you so much for sharing what you've been thinking about and how you've been keeping busy and your art. And thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for being there. And thank you for your work and service.
We are taking your calls this hour, finding out how you are filling your time, your weekends, what you're thinking about during this pandemic. The number is 800-642-1234. Are you planning to work on a new recipe this weekend? Maybe you're grilling out. The weather is gorgeous. Is your family getting together for a cookout or barbecue and still staying safe with social distancing? A while back, Sandra from Mount Pleasant called and wanted to know how to revive rusted cookware. Coppersmith Sarah Dahman offered tips.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have, it's probably a 16 to 18 inch, one ton pan with a lid that my mother-in-law left, but a skillet, iron, but it is rusty. Is that done for? Is it salvageable?
Absolutely. And hi, Sandra.
Really?
It's nice to meet you. Yes. No, it truly is. And that's the beauty of a lot of this heirloom cookware is it's salvageable unless you shatter that pottery pot and don't want to glue it back together again. It's all very salvageable. If it's rusty, all you have to do, you can do one of two things, and it depends on what you have available. You can build a big bonfire in your backyard. It doesn't have to be in a burn barrel. It can be just, you know, regular bonfire and stick it in there and get it real hot, and that rust will start to fall off. And you can do the same thing in your kitchen, but it'll get pretty dirty and smoky. And I highly recommend, if you have to do it in your oven, you know, rev your oven up to 500 degrees and stick it in there. It'll take longer than the fire and it'll smoke your house a little bit. Once that rust has fallen off, which it will with that heat, you can start to re-season it with whatever seasoning you want and just start putting on a layer, stick it back in the fire for half an hour to an hour, take it out, put another layer on, and just do that a couple of times and it'll be totally fixable and usable. I use flaxseed oil that I get. You can get it from Wisconsin. Somebody does it here and I can't think of who does. I usually actually get mine from North Dakota. I keep it as Midwest as I can. Flaxseed oil gives you a very smooth, shiny couple of coats.
Ah, Sarah Dahman, what an amazing coppersmith right here in Wisconsin. Let's take a call now. Bill is with us from Green Lake. Hi, Bill.
Good morning. I was just calling to talk about my plans to take a motorcycle trip and circumnavigate the state. A friend suggested that we go and just ride around the outside borders of the state.
Oh, wow. How have you mapped this out, first of all? Or is there a route that you just take online that says circumnavigate the state?
No, I've got a detailed road atlas of the state, and then I've got a couple of books on motorcycle trips. And so I thought we'd start with the Great River Road along the West Coast and head up to Lake Superior and then across the UP border and down to the Lake Michigan and around.
How long will this take?
We're planning like 200-300 miles a day, so
okay.
about a week.
Yeah. And so how many hours are you riding a day? Because that can be taxing on your body.
Well, probably about 8 hours a day. Mm-hmm. You know, we plan to stop whenever the spirit moves and
yeah.
Take in the scenery and you know, see if we can find some safe places to eat.
Yeah. Where have you decided to stay? Have you made any reservations?
No, we thought about camping, but haven't really tried that on the motorcycle. So we're going to look for hotels and motels along the way.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I just would relish the view from your bike because our state changes so much from top to bottom, left to right. I can imagine that you're going to see all sorts of different scenery.
Yeah, I've done a lot of riding around the state, but mostly in the southern parts. So I'm looking forward to seeing more of the northern parts of the state.
I wonder how are the roads like for you when you're out riding? Are they well enough maintained for you and your bike?
Yeah, I like to take the back roads, and the Road Atlas I have has all of those. And sometimes you get stuck on a road that is gravel or ends in a place where the Road Atlas doesn't show it ending. But for the most part, you know, Wisconsin has great roads. We have to take care of picking up the milk every day. And so the roads are pretty well maintained.
Do you have any tips for motorcycle riders? You've been riding a long time. Do you have any tips for staying safe on the bike?
Yeah, I think the main thing is just making sure that you drive defensively, that you're always on the lookout for cars. They have a hard time seeing motorcyclists, and so you need to be ready for anything, basically.
Well, I would hope that you could report back to us and let us know what you saw, and we would love to hear how this trip goes. Maybe you'll be able to blog about it or something.
Yeah, I thought we'd keep track of it on Facebook, and I listen to your show when I row in the morning, so I'm sure I'll have another opportunity to
call in. You're a rower, too?
Well, yeah, it's in my machine, of course. in Wisconsin, it's hard to get on the water. I try to row every day.
Well, it's so good to talk to you. Thank you so much for sharing that, and have a wonderful trip. I'm so excited for you that you can do this.
Thanks, Kate.
This is Caller Only Hour. We're spending time listening back to the exchanges this month between callers and guests, and you can call in with your ideas like Bill or what we should talk about on our mornings together. It's 800-642-1234. We're brainstorming show ideas, especially as it relates to fun and relaxation, but we want to know any topic that you want to know more about. How is your family exploring and, you know, staying safe amid the pandemic? Where are you going? How worried are you about crowds? Or how are you planning to get through your summer? Number again, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. We're back with more conversation on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is a caller-only hour. It's a Wisconsin brainstorm, if you will, on weekend plans, way to stay safe amid the pandemic. What should we talk more about on our Friday mornings? I've been doing painting, not, you know, painting my walls, yard work, major closet organizing with my daughter, who is organizer-in-chief. Are you interested in more how-to shows? And if so, what do you want to learn? Are you going fishing, hiking, or boating? What's on your agenda these weekends? Join in, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Cole now, joining us from Toma. Hi, Cole.
Hi.
Hi. How's it been for you? How are you feeling your weekends?
It's been, you know, it's with the COVID and everything, I'm a big music guy. And I go to a lot of music festivals, and a lot of them are getting canceled right now. So we've been planning some music festivals in the backyard, grilling with some friends and listening to music and just kind of just chilling, being together.
So do you play in a band at all, or are you a musician?
No, I'm not, but I just love music, being in live music situations, and it's just fun, you know? People need to be together right now, and it's it's just good to be together, and it sucks that everything's getting canceled.
Yeah. What's been your favorite summer music destination or favorite summer music festival that you've ever been to?
Summerfest.
Okay.
Hands down.
Hands down, Summerfest. Well, I mean, I was going to go there. I thought, well, I'll just let them get, you know, act, you know, have a pick. But there's just so much variety.
There is. Yep. And I've been to Firefly, and it's they're just so much fun. You meet so many cool people, and it sucks that stuff's getting canceled right now. So we're kind of doing our own thing in Wisconsin right now. So.
Have you listened to any concerts, like, through online concerts, like Facebook Live concerts at all?
Yes, and they're definitely helping a lot. But it's just not the same thing, because you don't get the experience of being with people and meeting new people, and just, it's definitely helping, but it's not the same, you know?
Yeah. What are you throwing on the grill these days?
Oh, anything. Steak, brats,
yeah.
You know, it's... Everybody's just doing their own thing right now. I think Wisconsin's going to come through this stronger than ever. So,
well, I appreciate your, you know, glass half full optimism there. It certainly is helpful. And Cole, keep listening to the music. What genre do you like most? Or do you listen to everything?
I listen to everything. Hip hop, alternative, classic rock, everything.
No, oh, well, thank you so much. We appreciate it. And do stay safe.
You too. Thank you.
We heard from Bruce in Eau Claire, sent us an email saying, April and May have always been kite flying season for my kids and me. Kites and string are cheap and stores at stores with toy departments. I have to say, Bruce, that my kids, we went out kite flying literally almost every day in April. We walked over to our school, and there's a big open field, no one there, and we would just fly kites every afternoon. So I think kite flying is a great way to spend some time. And then you can kind of get better at it, too. Like, there are some, you know, certainly some things you can learn about kite flying as you keep doing it. We have a couple in the garage, and, you know, yeah, they get wear and tear, and then you got to put them back together and rewind that string, get the knots out. So we've been doing kite flying ourselves. Bruce, thank you so much for that email. And thank you so much to everyone for all your ideas, all your inspiration during this pandemic. You know, it really keeps us going here on the Ideas Network, hearing from you each day, regardless of the conversation that we're having, whether it's a very serious conversation, whether it's a conversation that is keeping us informed about our world, about our day, or it's just, you know, how to have fun and stay relevant during this time when we all have to keep a distance. If we can keep together here on the Ideas Network, I find inspiration in that. I find a lot of meaning in that. So thank you for spending time with us. So now it is time for Wisconsin Life, and we have producer Brad Koldberg with a story about one of his family's favorite spots, and it's at Devil's Lake.
My family likes to go camping a lot. And when I was a kid back in the 80s, one of our favorite spots was Devil's Lake. We hiked the bluffs and played games of 500 with a tennis ball at the beach. We dove into the water off a big flat boulder along the tumbled rocks trail we nicknamed the Big Kahuna. But there was a spot in the Quartzsite campground that blew my mind as a kid, and we called it the Hill That Goes Up That Goes Down. One weekend, our family was cruising up the middle lane of the campground on our bikes. The road up ahead appeared to rise slightly through a patch of woods, but as we made our way through the trees, we picked up speed and had to hit the brakes. That was weird. I looked back over my shoulder, and sure enough, we had just cruised up a little hill. For comment, let's go to Dan Kohlberg, my dad.
Yeah, I remember that. We got down to the other end of the road and kind of said, wow, that was different. I mean, it looked like we were going to be going up a hill, and instead we coasted all the way here.
Back at the campsite, I remember my kid brain searching for an explanation. Was the spot enchanted by some sort of magic, magnetic, geologic, gravitational anomaly?
Regardless of what the cause is, I mean, it's like one of the seven wonders of Devil's Lake.
For the rest of the trip, my parents cooked dinner, sipped coffee, played cards, cracked peanuts. But my brother and I were back on our bikes, up, down, eyes wide and laughing. So what was really happening there? Well, when I want to know something, but I don't want to Google it, I like to ask my old friend Bob Sundling, who's always known quite a bit about quite a lot.
Hey, Bob.
Hello, Brad. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
So Bob says that if the horizon is obscured, then other visual clues like trees tell us what the lay of the land really is.
But in an area with dominant winds, if the wind's always been blowing from one direction, all trees may have grown with a slight downwind lean. And it might only be a few degrees, but it's enough that our brains are thinking, oh, that's straight.
Huh.
We tend to think we have a good inherent ability to judge up and down and horizontal and vertical, but it really depends on these external clues.
Okay, so it's not that I was just riding my bike in some wonder spot.
Probably not. I mean, it is possible, for example, that there was, say, a black hole passing through the Earth's atmosphere at that time. And I think you would have probably noticed a few other strange things happening too, like, maybe the end of the world or, you know, that type of thing.
The hill that goes up, that goes down.
Last summer, on a camping trip to Devil's Lake, my daughter and I grabbed our bikes and headed up the middle lane of the Quartzsite campground. She'd heard all about this magic spot in the trees and wanted to try it out for herself.
It was pretty weird because by the looks of it, we should have been pedaling harder than usual to go up a hill. But when we actually got to it, it was easy coasting and we just went right down, even though it looked like we were going up. The hill that goes up, that goes down.
Maybe we'll head back to Devil's Lake this summer and relive this goofy little bit of magic in our lives. It makes me grateful for this world that always seems to have a surprise waiting just up the road. Or down. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Brad Goldberg.
Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. So what's happening in your part of the state that could reach all corners of Wisconsin? Send your suggestions for Wisconsin Weekend, as we've been hearing throughout the hour. It's ideas at WPR.org. That's ideas at WPR.org. And we'll explore your tip for a Wisconsin Weekend program. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is Wisconsin Weekend on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.